Praise the Lord.
Let's stand tonight and read a scripture to open up the service. Psalms 37. Psalms 37, verse 1. It says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as a green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth." The Lord is a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Father, we are privileged to be able to come back into the presence of the Lord tonight. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to gather. And Lord, as we come, we trust that your spirit would just be free to move in our midst tonight. Use your servant, Brother Trevor, to speak to our hearts. And we pray, Father, that every song that we be sang will bring glory and honor to your name. Thank you for the saints that have arrived, those that are still on the way. God, we ask for traveling mercies for them. And those, God, that are unable to be with us tonight, we pray that you look upon them as well. We just pray that you have your way, God, in this service. We invite your presence even right now to move in only a way that you can tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Water, you turned into wine. You open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. Hallelujah. There's none like you. Into the darkness. Oh, into the darkness you shine. Hallelujah, it's out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you. Come on, everybody, sing with all your heart. Our God is greater.
Our God is greater. Yes, our God is stronger, and God, you are higher than any other. Oh, our God is healer, he is awesome. Our God, oh, water, you turned into wine. Yes, you did, Jesus. Oh, you opened the eyes of the blind. Oh, there's no one like you. Thank you, God. Oh, there's none like you. Into the darkness you shine. Oh, into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise, and out of the ashes we rise, because there's no one like you. Hallelujah. None like you, say, there's none like you. Oh, our God is greater. Our God is stronger. Come on, God, you are higher. higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Come on, somebody. I say, our God, hallelujah. Come on, everybody, lift your voice. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. Yeah, God, you are higher. Oh, in any. Come on. Our God is healer. Awesome in power. Yeah, I said, our God. Nobody like our God. Hallelujah. Come on, one more time. Our God is greater. Stronger. Thank you, Jesus. God, you are higher. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Yay, our God, our God, our God, our God. And if our God is for us. Stand against. Come on. If our God, and if our God, yeah, who could ever stop us? And if our God, yeah, what could stand against? Come on, say it again. If our God, oh, yeah, oh, if our God, hallelujah. What could stand against? Yeah, what could stand against? Hey, what could stand? What could stand against? Hey, oh, nothing could stand against us. No power, no demon can stand. What could stand against? God is stronger. God, you are higher. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Whoa. Come on, one more time. Our God is greater. Say, our God. Our God is stronger. Yes. Any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power. Yes. Come on, let's worship him. Nobody like our God. Come on, praise him in this place. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is still God, church. No matter what's going on in our society, he is still God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Bread of life, come on, sit down from glory. Yeah, I say many things you were on earth. Carpenter, you are the living word. Awesome ruler, gentle redeemer. Say, God with us. Oh, and what a friend we have. Come on, you are the living word. Bread of life, say bread. Sent down from glory. Many things, things you were on earth, a holy king. Yeah, you are the living word. Come on. Awesome ruler. Gentle redeemer, gentle reed. See God with us. The living truth and the word of friend we have. You are the living word. Say Jesus, Jesus. That's what we call you. Come on. Hey. But on the tree, you died to save. You are the living word. Say, come, say Jesus, Jesus. That's what we call you. That's what made you born. Oh, but on a tree you died to save. Come on, you are the living word. Say, oh, oh. Say, oh. Oh. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes. You are the living word. Say, oh. Oh. Jesus, Jesus. I said, Jesus, Jesus. I said, Jesus, Jesus. He's the Rose of Sharon, Lily of the Valley. His name is Jesus, Jesus. Bright and morning star. Alpha and Omega. Jesus, I said Jesus, Jesus, that's what we call you. Come on, I said Jesus, Jesus, hey, that's what we call you. Come on, I said Jesus, Jesus, that's what we call you. Jesus. Amen. He's worthy to be praised. Worthy to be praised. Thank you, Jesus. Jehovah, you are the Most High. You are the Most High God. Jehovah, you are the Most High. Come on, say, you are, everybody say it, say, Jehovah, you are the Most High. Glory to his name, you are the Most, say, Jehovah, you are the Most High. Thank you, Jesus, oh, you are, Jehovah, hey! Jehovah, Jehovah, hey! Jehovah, yeah, Jehovah, you are the Most High. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, Jehovah, you are the Most. Oh, you are. Yes, Jehovah, you are the Most. Nobody like you, Lord Jesus. You are the Most. Oh, Jehovah, you are. Yeah, you are the Most High God. Oh, Jehovah, hey! Jehovah, yeah, Jehovah, hey! Oh, Jehovah, come on, lift it up again, say, Jehovah, hey! Oh, Jehovah, yes, Jehovah, hey, Jehovah, Jehovah, you are the Most High. Oh, say you are the Most. Say, Jehovah, you are the Most. Everybody say, oh, Jehovah, hey, Jehovah, yeah, Jehovah, hey, oh, Jehovah, yeah, Jehovah, you are the Most High, hallelujah, sing, oh, Jehovah, you are the Most High. Yes, he is. Yeah, Jehovah, hey! Jehovah! Yeah, Jehovah, hey! Oh, Jehovah! Come on, say, Jehovah, hey! Jehovah! Yeah, Jehovah, hey! Jehovah! You are the Most glory. Oh, Jehovah. Yeah, hallelujah. Oh, Jehovah. Hey, Jehovah. Yeah, Jehovah. 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 Hey. Jehovah, oh Jehovah, Jehovah, yeah, Jehovah, hey, Jehovah, yeah, Jehovah, hey, Jehovah, come on, oh Jehovah, you are the Most. Yes, you are. Jehovah, you are the Most High. Hallelujah. One more time. Oh, Jehovah, you are the Most. Glory, say, you are the Most High. Jehovah, you are the Most High. Yeah, you are the Most High God. Somebody praise Him in this place. Nobody like our God. Nobody like our God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Nobody like you, Lord. No one can compare. Oh, Jehovah. Jehovah, hey. Jehovah, Jehovah, hey. Jehovah, Jehovah, you are the most. Thank you, Jesus, you are. Jehovah, you. Yes, you are the most high God. Oh, glory to his name. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. And you can be seated tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have got a couple of singers that's going to come forth and sing for us tonight. Amen. Let's have somebody from Okeechobee with the Smiley's Church. Let's have them come and, amen, bless us tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Y'all help with this.
God bless you. Appreciate that tonight. Our God is awesome. Amen. Nobody like our God. Amen. Amen. Brother Jeffrey, let's have him come at this time and sing for us. Praise the Lord. I want to thank God for all the saints that's making Miami, I see y'all here. Y'all got anything y'all want to say? Think about it. All right. Praise the Lord.
Oh, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Now, I've been thinking, as Christians, we need to live like Christians. We need to act like Christians. I just feel that we can't live like the world. We can't act like the world. I just feel we need to do what God is calling out for us. We need to move forward with God. Pass is over in you. have made me surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving, I'm not going back. I'm moving ahead. I'm here to declare to you my past is over in you. Things are made new. Surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving, I'm not going back. I'm moving ahead. I'm here to declare to you my past is over in you. Things are made new. Surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving, moving forward, moving forward. You made all things new, yes, you made all things new, and I will follow you forward. You made all things new, yes, you made all things new, and I will follow you forward. You made all things new, yeah, you made all things new, and I will follow you forward. You made all things new, yeah, you made all things new, and I will follow you forward.
My, praise the Lord. Amen. You make all things new, and I will follow you forward. God bless you, Brother Jeffrey. We appreciate that. Sister Jessica as well. Praise the Lord. That was all right. Amen. I will follow you forward. Come on, you make all things new. Come on, say, you make all things new. Yes, you make all things new, and I will follow you. Come on, one more time. You make all things new. You make all things. Yeah, you make. And I will follow forward, forward. Come on, give him praise in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's have the Eamon family come at this time from Jeffersonville, Indiana. They'll come and sing for us. Amen. At this time, praise the Lord.
Father's chains with bleeding stripes. Paul and Silas prayed that night, and in their pain began to sing. Their chains were loosed.
Appreciate that from the Eamon family. Glory to God. The Clourage Brothers. Amen. Let's have the Clourage Brothers come at this time and give us a song.
God bless you.
God bless you once again. I just want to thank Brother Jeffrey, because I guess like I said, we got a long friendship. I used to go to John I. Leonard High School with him, and we played ball together and all that. So I just thank God for Brother Jeffrey. See a classmate that I had, and see him worshiping the Lord and put his heart in the Lord.
So I just
pray for him. Amen. We're gonna sing the song for the glory of the Lord.
Amen.
We're together again.
Amen.
Just praising the Lord. We're together again. In one accord. Together again, just praising the Lord. We're together
again,
just praising the Lord. We're together
again,
in one accord. Something good is going to happen. Something good.
presence, Lord, we're together again.
Together again.
Just praising the Lord.
Praising the Lord.
We're together again.
We're together again.
Just praising the Lord.
Just praising the Lord.
We're together again.
We're together again.
In one accord.
In one accord.
Something good is going to happen. Something good is in store.
We're together again.
Together again.
Just praising the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Pass me not, oh gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While I notice thou art calling, do not pass me by.
Glory to God. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Well, tell you what we'll do. Let's prepare for tonight's offering. And I think we got one or two more songs. Miami, y'all thought about it? Y'all got anything? You got something? All right, so let's have the offering after that. Then we'll have Miami. And then there'll be one more song after that. So praise the Lord. As the brothers just prepare to come, also have a few announcements that I need to make mention of to you. Amen. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have tonight to give. Ask that you use this for the furtherance of your kingdom here on earth. Thank you for all the saints that are gathered in the house tonight. And pray that you bless each one in their own special way, God, tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Just real quick. The South Florida Choir, we're going to have a rehearsal. I know it's kind of late notice, but we want to try to get a couple songs ready for the meetings that will be happening in a couple weeks from now. So next Friday, July 3rd, 7:30 p.m. At Rapture and Faith Tabernacle, Brother West Coast Church, we'll be having a rehearsal for the South Florida Choir. We trust that you'll be able to make it, and we'll get a couple songs together for the meetings. Amen. It'll be happening the following weekend. Also, next Saturday at 3 p.m., Brother Bernard mentioned that there's going to be a youth meeting for those single and 18 years and older. Have to be single and 18 years and older, but there's a meeting there at Brother Bernard's next Saturday, July 4th at 3 o'clock in Miami. So keep that in mind, you know, for next weekend. Praise the Lord. Let's have the saints from Brother Bernard's church come at this time. Amen. Someone will be representing that church. They'll come and sing us a song. Amen. God bless you.
God bless you. I thank God for bringing us here and His presence, His people, and I'm not supposed to be here, but somehow in His grace, He found something in me that He liked, and I want to thank Him for that.
Amen.
You have done what no man can do. You will do what no man can do.
I'm needing, Lord.
I have no other God but You. You have no other God but You.
You have done
what no man has done. You will do what no man can do. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be your living sanctuary for You. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Living sanctuary for You.
Oh, Lord, prepare me.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. You're holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be your living.
It's a wonderful testimony for young people to have. I have no other God but You. Amen. That's wonderful. Appreciate you all for bringing those songs. Amen. I wanted to just sing this song for you all tonight. It's a song that my daughter actually wrote and asked me to sing it, and I've been holding on to it for quite some time, but tonight I think it just kind of was very fitting. The words of the song says, in troubled times You go before, You lead the way, You calm my storms, I place my hope in You. Says Jesus, You would never leave me, mountaintop or valley. God, I know that You are with me. I'll keep holding to Your promise. When all I see is darkness, God, I know that You are with me. Says though the oceans may roar and the mountains be shaken, I know I'm not forsaken. You are with me every step that I take. No, I won't have to worry. I know your hand will guide me. You are with me. And as we were just kind of going over this song, I was just thinking about what has happened here in our nation. It's supposed to be the great United States of America, but sin is on the rampage. And now it's been legalized, same-sex marriage. And we stand on the word of God. You know, and I was listening to Brother Bernard say something a little earlier today that just really just astounded me, even in the wake of things that happened in Charleston, South Carolina. You know, everything that's happening is an attack on Christianity. It was not an act of racism. It wasn't. Brother Bernard said, you know, if it was racism, then they could have went to a barbershop and killed somebody. They could have went into a school and killed somebody. But why did they choose a church to go and kill people? It shows that it's an attack on Christianity. And church, no matter what it is, laws may change. All kind of devils may rise up to do anything. But, you know, God promised he'll never leave us nor forsake us. So let's hold to his promises in the midst of that. Amen. Amen. Just pray for him as I sing this song. Amen.
Forsaken, say you are with me, and every step that I take, no, I won't have to worry. I know your hand will guide me, for you are with me. And though the oceans may roar, though the mountains be shaken, you see, I'm not forsaken, because you are with me. And every step that I take, no, I won't have to worry. I know your hand will guide me, for you are with me. Oh, and though the oceans may roar, and though the mountains be shaken, you see, I'm not for forsaken, because you are with me. Every step that I take, no, I won't have to worry. I know that your hand will guide me, and you are with me, Jesus. You will never leave me, mountaintop or valley. God, I know that you are with me. I'll keep holding to your promise when all I see is darkness. God, I know that you are with me. So I'll keep holding to your promise when all I see is darkness. God, I know that you are with me. You see, I'll keep holding to his promise when all I see is darkness. I know that he is with me. Hallelujah. Oh God, hallelujah, hallelujah. Though the oceans may roar, the mountains be shaken, see, I'm not forsaken, because you are with me. And every step that I take, no, I don't have to worry. I know your hand will guide me. God, you are with me. Can I say it again? Though the oceans may roar, the mountains be shaken, I know I'm not forsaken, because you are with me. Every step that I take, no, I won't have to worry. I know your hand will guide me. You are with me. Thank you, Jesus.
The prophet told us when we can't see Jesus, we can't feel him, we can't hear him, it's at those moments that we have to be certain of him. He promised never to leave us nor forsake us. The Hebrew boys could stand in their day. Daniel could stand in his day. Church, we're going to stand in our day. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's just stand to our feet as we prepare to welcome Brother Trevor to the pulpit. Amen. Tonight, I believe the Lord will use him in a special way just to speak to our hearts. And I trust that you all come. Amen. Open and ready to receive. Amen.
I'm finding myself at a loss for words. And the funny thing, it's okay. I need to be heard, but to hear what you will say, what you will say. Word of God, speak.
Let me stay happen tonight. If you have your Bibles, turn to Isaiah chapter 53. Very good to be with you again. It's been a year and a half or so. Amen. Isaiah chapter 53. It's good to be back to my Florida home. So, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Let's just bow our heads. Father, we have worshipped you, Lord, in our songs and with the emotions of our hearts, Lord. We have lifted your name up, Lord. We've talked about how you are with us, Lord, and how you direct everything amongst us, Lord. How you are the only God. How you are the only one that's worthy of our praise. The only one who we would lift up, Lord. And in song we lift up your name. Now, Lord, as we turn to the word, Lord, we ask that the worship would continue. Because, Lord, when your word takes root in our hearts and we go out and live it, that's real worship, Lord. We know that's what you're looking for, Lord. You're glorified, Lord, when your presence comes into the heart of the believer and it lives out. When your presence takes a sinner like us, God, and then changes it to make something wonderful out of it, how is your name glorified? Oh God, we love you. May we submit our lives to you that you could be glorified in our lives. Lord, we love you. Speak to our hearts tonight. We welcome your presence with us, Lord. We want to submit ourselves humbly to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. So I've been a little conflicted today on what exactly to preach, on what exactly to bring. I have kind of two topics on my heart, and hopefully rather than it just being Trevor preaching two sermons to you together and being up here for a very long time, hopefully instead the Lord will help me to mesh these two thoughts together, and by His grace it'll be something very special. I want to read just a quote to you as we want to talk about the arm of the Lord. It's either that or we'll end up talking about beholding Christ. One of the two. So we'll see when we're done. When you who take the title, you just pick one of those two, and depends on which one I talk about the most. But who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Brother Branham, speaking of this scripture, and as we know, this is very familiar to us, but in God hiding himself in simplicity, then revealing himself in the same, Brother Branham says, see, that's the way we want the Bible. Just the way the Bible says it, that's the way we want it. Just like that. Don't put our own, no interpretation. It's already interpreted. See? Now, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Let me read it again now closely, he says. Who has believed our report? Question. And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? In other words, if you have believed our report, then the arm of the Lord has been revealed. See? So let's update this to maybe a little bit more language closer to us here. And we could maybe say, in other words, if you've believed the report of this message, you know the power and the reality of God.
That's right, brother.
You see, when we talk about someone's arm, if hey, say, hey guys, you know, how's your arms doing? It's like, yeah.
All right,
doing pretty good.
Right.
See, when we're talking about the arm of the Lord, we're talking about his power.
All right.
Who is the arm of the Lord revealed to?
Amen.
And this is very important in our lives. Very important.
Yeah.
Because if we're talking about knowing him, and that's great, and you know, we can understand the great things of God, and we can understand that what the Godhead is, and we can understand the name of the Lord, and all of these revelations are very important to us. But as always, anytime we're thinking of theology, or anytime we're thinking of the Word of God, or doctrines, or revelations, or whatever word we might use for those things. It's how do they impact our lives that counts. God doesn't speak anything in his word and just let it sit there and go, well, that's a free one, you can have that, and now you understand it a little better. That's not the point of revelation. Revelation is given to you to impact your life and to do something in your life. It's not to make you a super Christian in your head. Yes, I understand. No, who hath believed our report? And so if you've believed the report, then the arm of the Lord is revealed to you. The power of God is then revealed to you if you've believed the report. Amen. So let's just reflect and look at the life of Abraham for a moment. Right. If we're looking at Abraham and Sarah and think of their early life, and no doubt they're saddened because they can't have any children. Come on. It's the desire, or ought to be the desire, or in these days you can't say it's the desire of every parent, but you know, back then I would hope that it was the desire of every parent to have children. You want to leave a legacy. You know, Abraham wanted little Abrahams, and Sarah wanted little princesses running around. And so no doubt that they were saddened because in their life because they were unable to have children. But one day a preacher comes to town, let's just say for a moment, and dramatize this for a moment. And so a preacher comes to town and he begins to speak on the power of God. And you know, and the song service has been wonderful, and things are really happening, and you can really feel the Spirit of God in the service. And suddenly the minister begins to talk about how God can change you, how God can make a difference in your life. Amen. And so he comes then and looks at Abraham and Sarah and says, now I see something going on in your life, but I want you to know that the power of God is going to quicken your hearts. The preacher then maybe gets it very personal and says, I know your name. Your name is Sarai and your name is Abram. But you know what? I just feel the Lord speaking to me now. And I want you to know that God's going to change your name. God's going to take you from what you were, and he's going to make something special out of you. You know, I feel God anointing me to tell you that you know, there's going to be a great nation come from you. And no doubt, but the service, man, I mean, the church got tore apart. Yes. My goodness, how did this man even know that Abraham and Sarah didn't have children? How did this man know their names? How could this man look and see what's going to happen in their lives? But here the power of God is coming down, and then the revealing of the word is going forth, and it's changing their lives, and everybody's seeing what God can do. And what a wonderful time they're having in church. I mean, my goodness. What a service. And so Abraham believes this promise and he accepts it. And no doubt the joy that takes place in his heart, and how him and Sarah are just hugging one another and crying, you know, and the sister of the church gather around Sarah and all. And I mean, there's just a big hugging, crying, happy time. Amen. Everyone knows what a big deal this was to Abraham and Sarah. The entire church is just overcome and overwhelmed by what God has proclaimed now. And the revival just goes, I mean, long into the night. People don't want to leave. It's so wonderful. The next morning, Brother Branham illustrates for us that the next morning Abraham gets up and looks at Sarah, honey, how you feeling? No different. The next morning, Abraham gets up and, honey, how you feeling? Well, no different. Okay. The next morning, Abraham wakes up. Sarah, honey, how you feeling? Has it started yet? No. No different. And no doubt but you've been there before. No doubt but you've been there in a service where God has spoken so directly to you. And God has spoken things to your heart. And even though the minister had no idea what he was saying, and maybe he wasn't pointing at you and saying what your name was and exactly what, but you knew what you were dealing with in your heart, and the Holy Spirit, in the way that he works through the ministry. Maybe it was a tape you heard and it spoke directly to you. Because God is still speaking in our day. And my, how it impacted your life. And how, my, I mean, how great it was. And you felt so wonderful. And the revival was so great. And the next morning you woke up. Oh, how you feeling? Well, tired. It was a late service last night, to be quite honest. Okay. And where is God? Where is the emotion of the service before? And then you're left with a decision. You know, Brother Branham tells us the story of the man who comes through the prayer line. And he says, "Do you believe me?" And he says, "Yes, you're healed in the name of Jesus Christ." And the man was blind. And the man goes, and on his way, the next day he comes into the prayer line. And he says, "I thought you said I was healed." Brother Branham says, "I thought you said you believed me." And the man said, "Well, I do." He says, "Well, go testify. Why don't you act like you believe?"
Amen.
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 And finally, the man's testifying on the street corner, extra, extra, praise the Lord for healing me, blind as a bat. Sits down in the barber's chair. The barber begins to make fun of him. And the man says, "And hey, look, the next morning, the man wakes up."
Yeah.
How much more could he see than the night before?
Right. Come on.
No more.
Right.
The day after that, the man wakes up. What happens? Nothing more.
All right.
Not even a smidgen more light.
Amen.
This is why he comes back in the service and says, "Hey, what's going on?" But he's sitting there in a barber's chair a few days later, and the barber's making fun of him. And the barber says, "Oh, he went up to that meeting. Yeah, sure did. Oh, Lord, heal you. Yeah, amen. Yes, praise the Lord for healing me." And the man's eyes came open.
Amen.
And out of the barber's chair he went.
Amen.
Why? Because he held on to the word of God.
Amen.
You see, his faith was more than the emotion of the meeting the night before. Now there's a reason Brother Justin is standing right now.
All right.
Because he's the reason that this sermon's being preached right now.
All right.
Because if you can think back to a year and a few months ago when I was here at Acquire the Fire, and after speaking and we were fellowshipping there in the parking lot, and he said, "You know, Brother Trevor, there's something I always think about. You know, all these preachers, they come and you know, oh, get right, do this, and you know, quit doing this and quit doing this. And man, we're hard on you all.
Come on. Preach.
Because we're hard on ourselves too.
Right.
Because we're right there with you.
Yeah.
And my, we get in your face, brother, you got to stop this. I know what's going on with you. I know what's going on in your home. I know what's going on in your living room. I know what you're thinking about when the bedroom door is closed. You know why we know? Because, yeah, it's the same thing.
Come on.
But we're really hard on you. We're always telling you, get right. And Brother Justin's like, "You know, do we ever tell people like what they should do?"
Right.
Instead of always just saying, "Oh, no, you can't do this, can't do that, can't do this." Live a boring life, people. Then you'll be godly.
Come on.
Has nobody thought that before?
Preach.
Amen. So what happens after the emotion has wore off of the meeting? Amen. Brother Branham says in the message, "Redeemer, redemption." That's what's the matter with a lot of people, even right here in California. Undernourished, lacking a vitamin. Now, before he's into this quote, he's talking about how there's two calves, in one in a barn eating only weeds, and one in a barn eating good hay all winter, and spring comes, and they're both let out onto the pasture, and the one who's had the good hay fed to him all the time is now leaping and jumping and prancing all around. He's having a good time.
Yeah.
He's having emotion.
Right.
It's a great time. The undernourished one that's been fed only weeds is, oh,
yeah.
It's springtime.
Yeah.
But the other one's having a great time.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a manufactured emotion.
Right.
But it was emotion that was because of the nourishment of the Word of God. Because he says, read the word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word. Don't build yourself upon emotions, upon excitement. Though, I remind you, he was just talking about emotion. He was just saying the one that was fed had a lot of fun. Jumping around. Because he had the proper nourishment. And that's very important to us, you see. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but as we get into this, you're going to understand that there's a time where you almost need to be sheltered for a while. And you need to have the proper nourishment. And if you want to get to a service where the preacher's not, you know, pointing his finger in your face saying, quit doing this, quit doing that, quit doing this, you're going to need to quit doing those things so that you can get the nourishment that you need to have. You're going to find that you're in a place where you're under siege. And when you're in a place when you're under siege, I'm going to tell you there's hope for you to get out of that siege. But there's a time when you're under siege. And guess what? If you're there in Jerusalem and you're under siege by the Assyrians, how much fun are you having? No fun. Under siege. In a battle. And I wonder how many of us do we really understand that, look, becoming a Christian is a very real thing. This is what Brother Branham was talking to the mother, or the Dr. Reedhead was talking to the Muslim boy. He said, why don't you accept a resurrected Lord Jesus? And the Muslim boy said, well, you know, do you understand? If I accept your Jesus, when I go back, they're going to want to kill me. You see, it's a very real thing in Christianity. And make no mistake. Brother Jack sang the song he sang because of what happened 2 days ago. If you don't think that's going to make an impact in this nation and an impact in how you're viewed as a Christian, then you really need to wake up, because that the siege is coming. Pretty soon it's going to be very real to you whether or not you want to be a Christian or not. Because it's going to be painful to stay a Christian. Amen. So you're going to be under siege. It's not fun. But the Christian life isn't always fun. Well, what fun things can we do, Brother Trevor? We can't do this, and we can't, oh my, you're always preaching about sports, and you're always doing this. And you know, what fun can we have?
Come on.
Well, you got to realize, as a Christian, you might be under siege for a while. And there just may not be any fun to be had. But I'm not going to leave you there. So don't build yourself upon emotions, upon excitement, upon big churches. Build upon the solid rock, Christ Jesus, and his word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall never pass away. He came to redeem. In the message, Stand Still, Brother Branham says, it doesn't go how much we act. It's how much takes a hold inside is what counts. What takes a hold inside? So as Abraham and Sarah are there in this wonderful meeting that has happened, and my, how emotional and how wonderful it was, but something took a hold inside of Abraham. And it was that thing that took a hold inside of him that counted. Though the emotion of the service was long gone, there was still something there that anchored him. And it anchored him for 25 years. And I want to ask you, how many of us are going to have something where something anchors us? And even though we may be in a desert time. Now Abraham here, he was called out from amongst his own people. And by a God he's never seen. This is very strange, a very strange thing to anybody in the land today. His father worshipped idols. But here this unknown God with no image, is now speaking to Abraham, saying, Abraham, I want you to leave your people. I want you to journey halfway across the country. You know, about, if you look, I mean, it's like 600 miles. I was telling my kids, it's like, you know, walking to Iowa from Indiana. I mean, it's a good distance. And in those days, there wasn't internet, there wasn't phones, there wasn't pagers, there wasn't any of these things. You know, Sarah, going with her husband and going to where they were going, how, you know, she was never going to see her family again. Yeah. I mean, I don't even know if letters were going to make it back and forth. So it's a very real thing. They can just, well, that didn't work, hop on a plane and head back to Ur. No! They made a serious decision. Something had anchored on the inside of them. And so they choose to leave the times that they're having and go to another land. And so there they are, but Lot comes with them. You know, see, he brought some of the people that thought, well, maybe we'll go with you. Maybe it'll be a nice time. And so there he is with Lot. Okay? And then it comes to a point where they're growing and, you know, things are going well, but suddenly there becomes some contention between Lot's people and Abraham's people. And Abraham gives Lot the first choice and says, you know, you choose which direction you want to go, and I'll go the other direction. And Lot, like any, you know, rational thinking man, is going to, well, the plains with the water looks good to me. And so Abraham says, okay, I will go take this wilderness, mountainous area. Fun times in the wilderness. Amen. But he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Amen. Amen. So here he is there, and he's journeyed far away, and that is kind of a type of Abraham's salvation. He's coming out of the world and he's separating himself. But then he comes to a place where he needs sanctification, and he really comes to a point where he's got to have a separation even from other believers. Where things get really real. You know, we can have some fellowship with the Pentecost and we can have fellowship with the Baptist, but at some point there's just, you guys got to pick where you're going to go, and we're going to go, and God bless you. And yes, you Baptists get to have all the fun, and you still get to have your programs and your this's and your that's, and you know, you still get to have lock-ins and, you know, watch Disney movies in your church and, you know, all of these things.
Come on, brother.
But there was a separation, there was a junction there, and Brother Branham says, look at this junction between the separation of right and wrong with Abraham. What a time. Abraham seemed like he'd got the raw deal. And it seems like tonight, because you've separated yourself from the things of the world, that you've got the raw deal. Abraham could look and say, man, that land that Lot took sure was the better piece of property. I mean, we could have divided that in half. He could have gone east and I could have gone west, and we could have shared that little piece in the middle there. But no, he chooses south and I get north. So I get none of it. I get the raw deal. The mountainous wilderness area. But he says, don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap.
Amen.
But maybe it seems like you got the raw deal in your Christian walk tonight. Maybe you think, man, we don't get to have the fun, and I've been getting a little tired of being preached at and told what I can't do. The fun of the old land is gone. But Abraham is looking to something different. He's looking to a promise. You see, when you come into Christianity, you're called to a separation. And that separation is very real. It's changing you, and it's changing your walk. And it ought to also change your place of joy. Because I want to tell you, Jesus, you're the center of my joy, isn't just a song. It isn't just words that we sing in a melody to Jesus Christ, but Jesus, you're the center of my joy, is a reality. It ought to be a reality to you. Oh, I really enjoy this, but Jesus is the center of it. There comes to a point in time where the emotion of the service before goes away, and we can have a good time, and we love to stand there and sing, Jesus, you're the center of my joy, and everyone has their hands raised, and everyone's having a wonderful time. And I'm glad that you have a good time in church. You ought to have a good time in church. But when the emotion of the meeting leaves, Jesus is still the center of your joy. These are not just words, but there's a deep in there that says, yes, Jesus is the center of my joy. Though I can't go and do the things that I used to do, though I can't go and hang out with the friends that I used to hang out with, and though maybe I need to, for a time, I need to separate myself from some of those things. You know, I had a problem with shopping, and I need to separate myself from the mall for a while. And, you know, because I need to make sure that nothing pulls me away from Jesus being the center of my joy. Maybe I need to quit watching sports for a while, because I need to make sure that nothing pulls me away from Jesus being the center of my joy. I can't exist in the middle ground. There's going to come a time when you have to separate from Lot. And it's going to feel like you got the raw deal. It's not going to be fun. But being called to serve Jesus isn't just some thrill. You look at the life of Joseph. How many would want to be Joseph? Leader of all the world. But was in slavery and in prison for 7 years of his life. Not fun. Amen? So there we are. We're right at that spot where now things aren't fun. The preachers are always telling us, quit doing all this stuff. We're in that city and we're under siege. It's not fun. We're in that land like with Abraham, and it's all alone, and it's not fun. And I want you to turn now to 2 Kings chapter 18, and we want to look at a time when the city of Jerusalem under King Hezekiah was under siege. And we're going to read almost two chapters of the scriptures tonight. I know, right? How boring is that? My, we're going to church and we're going to read the Word. A whole bunch of the Word. Man, we think this stuff sometimes, people.
Yeah.
Man, can't you just read that one scripture you read at the beginning? That was nice. Can't we just, yes, the arm of the Lord and His power. And we could just, yeah, and woo, and yay. But it's the Word of God that's the reality.
Amen.
Who hath believed our report? Who hath believed the Word? Amen. To him the arm of the Lord is revealed.
Amen.
Amen. And I tell you what, when you're in a city under siege, there's one thing you want to be revealed unto you. That's the arm of the Lord.
Right.
So if we look in 2 Kings chapter 18, and we go to verse 17, and Hezekiah was such a great king, And he always was telling the children of Israel that they needed to wait on the Lord and to serve the Lord and to not be afraid of the things that were going on around them. But the king of Assyria is here, and much of the land of Israel is already gone. It's just Judah at this point, somewhere around here. And so verse 17, the king of Assyria sent Tartan and Rabsaris and Rabshakeh from Lachish to King Hezekiah with a great host against Jerusalem. They went up and came to Jerusalem. And they were there, and they were come up, and they came and stood in the conduit of the upper pool, which is in the highway of the Fuller's Field. And when they had called to the king, there came out unto them Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, which was over the household, Shebna the scribe, and Joah, the son of Asaph the recorder. Rabshakeh said unto them, speak ye now to Hezekiah. Thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this wherein thou trustest? Thou sayest, but they are but vain words, I have counsel and strength for war. Now on whom dost thou trust, that thou rebellest against me? And I'm going to begin to alternate something here. because I don't want to have to reread this twice. So I'm going to begin to alternate, and I'm going to begin to say, and the devil sent Tartan and Rapsaris and Rapshika unto King Hezekiah. And we maybe say the devil sent Tartan and Rapsaris and Rapshika from Lachish unto Brother Jack. And the devil said unto them, speaking now to Brother Jack, thus saith the great king, the king of the devil. What confidence is this wherein thou trustest? Thou sayest, but they are vain words. I have counsel and strength for war. Now on whom dost thou trust? That thou rebellest against me. See, the devil's looking at you as if you're trying to rebel against him. Here you are sitting in Spirit and Truth Tabernacle, you bunch of rebels. Don't you know that the devil already owns you? Why have you taken it upon yourselves to make this great rebellion? Try to hide behind these walls of Jerusalem, this holy city.
All right.
So called.
Work with it.
So you're a Christian, eh? Uh-huh. An invincible army, huh? What do you have? Behold, thou trustest upon the staff of this bruised reed. Even upon Egypt, even upon your church, on which if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Brother Jack, pastor of Spirit and Truth Tabernacle. Or you could put, I know there's many churches in here, so you could put your pastor's name in here and that'd be fine. Upon unto all that trust on him. You see, the devil's going to try and come in. He's, you know what he's going to do? He's going to say, you're a bunch of rebels. But you know what? He's not just always going to lie to you. He's going to tell you the truth many times.
Come on.
Because, yes, it was true that Hezekiah was tempted to lean upon Egypt down to his south for their support to throw off the king of Assyria. And the devil came to him and said, you can't trust in Egypt. Now that was absolutely true. Hezekiah couldn't trust in Pharaoh, king of Egypt.
Right.
And I want you to know, when your devil, the devil comes to you and tells you, you can't trust in your church. Man, you think because you go to church that's going to save you? He is absolutely correct.
Amen. Come on.
Don't you lean on a church, you stay there on a church, and it's going to hurt you.
All right.
Yep, devil's going to tell you the truth as much as he can.
Come on.
Think you can trust in your pastor?
Come on.
Oh, you think you can trust in your parents?
Come on.
Now all these things are good things that God has given us.
Right.
But they're given us for a purpose.
Right.
To bring us to him.
Amen.
You can't sit there and just, you know, you're 24 years old and you're still leaning upon your parents, you're leaning upon your pastor. It's time, you know, that's wonderful. I'm glad that they're there for you. But at some point in time, you need to stand upon the word of God.
Hallelujah.
At some point in time, Abraham had to stand upon what God was telling him, and he had to leave his family.
Yeah.
Think you can trust in all these things? It's not going to work. But if ye say unto me, we trust in the Lord our God, is not that he whose high places and whose altars that Hezekiah hath taken away and said to Judah and Jerusalem, ye shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem? You see, the next thing he's going to come and tell you is, you know what? You don't even serve God right. You don't even do it right. And if you're honest with yourself, what are you going to say? I maybe don't do it right all the time. Mm-hmm. Now therefore, I pray thee, give pledges here unto the devil, and I will deliver you 2,000 horses if you can set riders thereon. How will then you turn the face of one captain of the least of the devils and put your trust in your church, your pastor, all of these things? See, the devil's coming to you and he's painting a real black picture.
Yeah.
He's coming to you and says, you know what? I mean, I being the devil, rebellion's kind of my thing, you know, and I kind of appreciate a good rebellion, to be quite honest. And, you know, I'll make it even a challenge for myself. I'll even help you fight against me. if you think you can get anywhere. What you got? Huh?
Come on, brother.
I'll even bite you with one hand tied behind my back. That's how this rebellion you got looks to me. You got nothing. You don't serve God, right? Anybody who you think you can trust in, you can't trust. It's hopeless. And now I am now come. And verse 25. And I now come up without the Lord. I'm sorry, he's asking a question. Am I now come up without the Lord against this place to destroy it? The Lord said unto me, go up against this people. Destroy this church. I'm more in the will of God than you are. Because you're so bad at what you do. God has sent. Do you remember what you were thinking last night? Do you remember what you did the other day? Do you remember all of these things? I want you to know that I'm more in the will of God to bring judgment and punishment against you than you think you're in the will of God for trying to rebel against me. You bunch of heathens. What's your rebellion gonna do? You're so bad, God told me to come punish you. You're never gonna be free of this rebellion, of me coming against you. You're so bad. Why don't you just give up? Then said Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and Shebna, and Joah, and unto Rabshakeh, speak, I pray thee, to thy servants in the Syrian language, for we understand it. Talk not with us in the Jews' language, in the ears of the people that are on the wall. See, Brother Jack, he, as a pastor, wants to come and says, no, devil, I don't want you talking to my people like this. You want to come to my people, you need to come through me. Because he's a good pastor, he's a good shepherd. But what does the devil reply to Brother Jack? But Rabshakeh said unto them, hath my master sent me to thy master and to thee to speak these words? Hath he not sent me to all the men that sit upon the wall, that they may eat their own dung and drink their own piss with you? Why? Because it was a siege, right? It wasn't a happy time. It was disgusting. And sometimes you feel that way as a Christian, don't you? And you feel totally under siege. You feel totally bombarded. You feel like you are no good whatsoever. You feel like anything you've ever tried to do is terrible. And it just feels hopeless. And the devil says, I'm not talking to the pastor. I'm not talking to your parents. I'm talking to you in a language that you understand. And that's what the devil's going to do. He's going to come and he's going to talk directly to you. He's going to put thoughts. The battlefield is in your mind. And the devil has license to come and speak to your mind. Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice in the Jews' language and spake, saying, hear the word of the great king. Hear the word of the devil. Thus saith the king, don't let Brother Jack and these preachers deceive you. They can't deliver you out of my hand. Don't let the pastor and don't let the preachers, don't let the prophet make you trust in the Lord. Saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city shall not be delivered into my hand, the hand of me, the devil. You see, I know what the pastor's saying to you. I know what he's saying. I know what he's going to try to do, but it's hopeless. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
That's right.
You know what? Yeah, your pastor doesn't know what he's talking about. Yeah, I'm talking like him. And there's people sitting right here in these pews that have thought that same thing, sitting right where you're sitting. Whose thought was that? Where did you get that thought? It was the devil. Because you're under siege. And he wants you to give up. You see, I can't wait to get to the part where we start talking about the arm of the Lord. Because as we're sitting here, we're beginning to understand how real that the devil is at fighting us. How real the devil is at fighting us. It's a reality. We come to a place in our time where we're feeling very emotional. We're there in the evening time and we're sitting there thinking about how bad things are, how we've messed up, or, you know, mom just yelled at me and I'm so sick of it. The pastor is getting all over my case. Who is he? He doesn't know anyway. You want to tell me that's not real? You want to tell me that's not real? Every single one of you knows how real that is. And when we start talking about how real the Lord is, you're gonna hope. I hope you're gonna see how much more real He is to you, and that it's not just having a great time in a service, but there's a God who's real, and who can conquer all of these things, and how wonderful He is, and how much really He should be the center of your joy, and how that if you really truly start looking at Him and knowing Him and understanding Him and spending time with Him, you're going to understand how awesome He really is. And the things of the world, as we sing, the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Not just a song. There was an inspiration behind the words of the song that spoke of a reality. Amen. Let's see here where we are. I think we're somewhere around verse 31 then. Hearken not unto the pastor, for this is what the devil has to say. Make an agreement with me by a present and come to me. Eat ye, and then eat ye every man of his own vine, every one of his fig tree, and drink ye every one of the waters out of his cistern. Now, what he's saying here is what the Assyrians would do after they conquered a people. They wouldn't just kill everyone and leave the land to rot. They would capture them. And then they would move them to another place. And say, you people live here, and then these people have to go live here, and these people have to go live here. Because after all, who rebels for something that's not yours anyway? It would be generations before people felt like this was home enough to rebel. You're there. But listen to the devil's marketing now. Right. Now, you just give up and come to me. And you know what? For a while, I'm going to let you stay right where you are. And you're going to be just fine. You can eat of your own vine. Every one of his fig tree. And drink you out of your own waters. Until I come and take you away to a land. Oh, but it's like your own. You see, to be honest, the land that I'm going to take you to is even better. You see, because I was the most beautiful angel ever. And I wanted to have a land even better than what God Himself had. You see, I know you're looking for a millennium. And you want a millennium. And you know what? I'm good with that. I want you to have a millennium too. But don't you be trusting this brother Jack over here that he can take you to a millennium, because he can't do it. He can't do it. But you know what? I can give you a millennium. I can make it better for you. But we got to go. You got to come with me now. And we got to go somewhere. For a while, you can stay here and enjoy things. But after a while, you got to come with me. And we're going somewhere else. And then everything that you wanted, we're going to have here. It's not captivity. Really. It is. But you shouldn't look at it as captivity. It's not somewhere you expressly ask to go and you have to stay there. But no, it's not captivity.
Come on, brother! Preach!
Until I come and take you to a land like your own land, corn, wine, bread, vineyards, oil, honey, that you may live and not die. Hearken not unto brother Jack when he persuadeth you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. I mean, after all, after what I've just told you, why would you need deliverance? Hath any of the gods of the nations delivered at all the land out of the hand of the devil? Where are the altar calls of the Methodists? Where are the Bible studies of the Baptists? Where are the youth services of the Pentecosts? Have any of them been able to save them? That you think that you are going to make it. You're still under siege. What good has your repentance been? Things are still no fun for you. The preachers have preached. You've been to the altar. You've repented, but you're still not having any fun. Are you? Yeah. Take that one. But the people held their peace and answered him not a word. For the king's commandment was saying, answer him not. Oh, devil, I rebuke you. I rebuke you. We got to rebuke that lion spirit. We got to rebuke that this spirit. We got to rebuke that spirit. We got to rebuke that spirit. Rebuke, rebuke, rebuke. I rebuke you. No, they didn't do it. Their reaction was to just sit there and listen. And then they did something else. Then came Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, which was over the household, Shebna, Joah, unto Hezekiah with their clothes rent, and told him the words of Rabshakeh. Came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. Now, why did they rent their clothes? Mourning. Yes, mourning. Mourning for what? What were they mourning for? Potential bondage? Perhaps. Now, the pastor just asked and it wasn't the right answer, so nobody else is going to say anything. The Sunday school teacher in me wants an answer. But why would they rent their clothes? What in the Bible did rending your garments signify? That someone has blasphemed. You see, these people, weren't there renting their garments because, oh my goodness, it's so bad. The devil has come and it's just bad. We're not going to be able to make it. Woe is me. No. Let's go back and look at a verse really quick. This is why they're rending their garments. I want you to look at verse 34, and I want to read it actually the way it was written. Where are the gods of Hamath and of Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim, Hena, and Iva? Have they delivered Samaria out of mine hand? Who are they among all the gods of the countries that have delivered their country out of my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? Oh, you see what it was? They compare. The devil had the audacity to compare the Lord with all of these idols. What a blasphemy that was. They weren't sitting there feeling sorry for themselves at how bad it was. But no, they looked to the glory of God and said, God's name has been taken in vain. God has been compared to something that he ought not to be compared with. Oh my goodness. This is terrible. You see, even in under siege, they were looking at something greater than themselves. You know, isn't there movies all the days, these days, talking about, you know, oh, being part of something greater than yourself? You want to be, you know, there's a plan for you. You just don't understand it yet. But you will. Yeah, that's the devil's answer. He's trying to, you know, he's a perversion of something that you already have. You are a part of something greater than yourself. It's the bride of Jesus Christ. And that position is the greatest position ever known to a person. Because the one you're marrying is the greatest one ever. Amen. So they rent their clothes because someone blasphemed. They didn't take it personal. They didn't look at what they were, they didn't look at how terrible it was, but they looked at what God said about, or what that devil said about him. And he sent Eliakim, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. They went to the word of the prophet. Good reaction under siege. Good reaction. Sending for the word of the prophet. And Hezekiah, thus saith Hezekiah, that this day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and of blasphemy. The children are come for a birth, and there's not strength to bring them forth. It may be the Lord will hear, God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God had heard. Wherefore, lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left. And the servants, so the servants of the king Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and Isaiah said unto them, thus shall ye say to your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon them, and he shall hear a rumor, and they shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword of his own land. And then we go into verses 8 through 13. What happens? Rabshakeh comes back. You see, Isaiah has already prophesied. Hey, he's going away, and Rabshakeh comes back because, you know, the devil thinks, hey, why taunt them once when I can taunt them twice? And you may notice just a little bit of desperation in the language there in verses 8 through 13, but my, the devil also thinks, why blaspheme once when you can blaspheme twice? So I just want to skip to verse 14. Hezekiah received the letter. This was the second thing, that just a repeat of what we've already gone through. Hezekiah received the letter at the hand of the messengers and read it, and Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And he prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwelleth between the cherubims, thou art the God, and even thou alone of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. You see, Hezekiah knew where God was. He knew who God was. Hezekiah could behold him in his dwelling place. He could see where he was. He says, Lord, bow down thine ear and hear, and open, Lord, thine eyes and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which he hath sent him, which has sent him to reproach the living God. It's Sennacherib versus God here. This isn't the devil versus you. This is the devil versus God. You're stuck in the city, but you don't have to take these things personally. Because Jesus settled the sin question at Calvary. So you don't have to take any of these things personally. You don't have to worry about any of these things. Because the prophet has already spoken that there's going to come a blast and your enemy's going to go. Amen?
Amen.
This is the devil versus God. It's not the devil versus you.
Right.
You don't have to get worried. You don't have to put the armor on and get all psyched up and I'm going to go fight the battle and I'm going to go rebuke the devil. No. Just take the words that the devil has spoken to you and lay them before the Lord.
Yeah.
God, he said I wasn't good enough. God, he said it was hopeless. God, he said that Brother Jack didn't know what he was talking about. He's trying to tell me that the prophet doesn't even know what he's talking about. God, I don't know. Here I am, Lord. Lord, you hear the blasphemy that this man has spoken. Lay the letters before the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I want to skip here now to verse 20. Isaiah the son of Amos sent Hezekiah, saying, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, have I heard. This is the word that the Lord hath spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, hath despised thee and laughed thee to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem hath shaken her head at thee. You see, when it comes to a point where God then comes on the scene, that the daughter of Zion, which is the bride, can laugh the devil. We like that. Yeah! Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Yeah! Nice try, devil! Ha-ha! We like that part, but guess what? They're laughing at the devil. They're laughing at the king of Assyria. You can't touch us. God said so. Woo! Where are they at? Still in the city. Still in the city. Whom thou hast reproached and blasphemed and against whom thou hast exalted thy voice and lifted up thine eyes on high, even against the Holy One of Israel. Continues on, we'll go down to verse 28. Because thy rage against me and thy tumult has come up into my ears, therefore will I put a hook in thy nose and put a bridle in thy lips, and I will turn thee back by the way which thou camest. Make no mistake, God is in control of your enemy. God has a hook in the devil's nose.
Glory.
And he can't do anything more to you than God will allow him to do.
Amen.
And he's going to turn him back. And this shall be a sign unto thee. He shall eat this year such things that grow of themselves. In the second year that which springeth up the same. And a third year sow ye and reap. Plant vineyards and eat the fruits thereof. The remnant that has escaped of the house of Judah shall yet again take root downward and bear fruit upward. Amen. You see, that there was a time that the Assyrians were going to be taken away. But the land had been totally ravaged. The Assyrians had eaten all of the food. So whatever was left for them to eat. And the next year, why couldn't they do it the next year? It was the Sabbath year. They had to give the land rest. Oh, that's terrible. We gotta give the land rest. We gotta trust the Lord. We can at least get out of the city now, but my, there's just not enough food. Because it's such a grand thing to be a Christian. But on the third year, after you've rested in God and allowed whatever food grows for you to eat, you can take root downward. You're going to bear fruit upward. Amen. See, it's about bearing fruit. It's about taking root. And these people were there in the under siege, not having a good time as Christians. They were there, and the preachers were preaching at them on the things that they needed to stop doing, and they were there not having a good time in anything of the world anymore. The devil was there attacking them all the time. But there was coming a time when the power of God was about to be revealed. They had believed God. They didn't walk out of the gates and trust and do what the devil said. They didn't go to the devil's millennium. They stayed there and dwelt under the siege. They believed the report of the word. And when they believed the report of the word, the arm of the Lord was revealed to them. And if you'll pay very close attention to verse 35, it says, "It came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians, 185,000. 185,000 Assyrians were killed. When they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses." My, they were sitting in the city and they were so scared. And the devil was giving them so many lies and telling them they couldn't trust this, that, and everything else. But because they believed the word of the Lord, the arm of the Lord was revealed to them. And that's what I want us to see tonight. That though you might not be having fun, though as a Christian maybe you're not having such a great time, but if you're going to stay there and you're going to have these wonderful meetings, something's got to take root down on the inside, that you're going to believe the report that you heard that night. That you're going to believe if it's 25 years that I'm under siege and not having a good time, but yet the promised son is going to come.
Amen.
You see, they beheld the power of God.
That's right.
Amen?
That's right, brother. Amen.
Why? Because they believed. Because something had taken place on the inside. They didn't just have a wonderful time and wonderful services and then go, "Oh, we're under siege. What do we do? Oh, my goodness. I don't know." No, they had faith. They didn't answer the devil. They just brought the devil's accusations before the Lord, and they just dwelt in the city in safety. Was it fun? Not necessarily. Amen? Now, I want to look just really quickly, hopefully, how long have I been preaching? Okay, I'll preach for a little bit while longer. But anyway, I really want to bring how powerful God is into this. Because we've seen how truly powerful that devil is at battling our minds. But we want to understand the God that kills 185,000 Assyrians is the God that can do such great things in your life.
Yes.
Brother Branham says in the message, "Convinced and then Concerned," see, John was convinced, John the Baptist. He began to preach. Andrew had been attending the meetings, and so when Jesus passed by and Andrew and another disciple was there, John pointed out and said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." And they followed him. I like that. I wish I could have that much force in my preaching when I say, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world," and every person would take out after him. My, where do I find him, Brother Branham? I can show you. So John preached and said, "There he is, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. When I see him move across an audience and pull a sinner or a sick person and speak to them and know that that's the very God." And anybody that would know anything would know that I couldn't do that. I'd like to say, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So what Brother Branham is saying, he says, here in my ministry as people come, and I tell them what's wrong with them and what everything, and he says, and what can you do? Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world.
Right. Amen.
Amen? Because this is the very God in our midst.
Amen.
Not that Brother Branham is God. Everybody understands this, right?
Oh, that's right.
But that ministry that was there was God in that man doing works.
Exactly right.
And so Brother Branham says, anybody would know anything knows I can't do that. But pull a sinner or a sick person, speak to them.
God.
Tell them who they are, where they're from. But he says, I'd like to say, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world.
Amen.
Tonight I want you to behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world.
Amen.
You see, you've heard what the devil wants to say to you. And you know that straight out of the scripture is exactly what you've gone through before. But John is sitting here saying, behold the Lamb of God. You see, Hezekiah and his people beheld where God was sitting high in his temple. They prayed to that God that they knew where he was. And because they beheld him and knew who he was and believed his report, the arm of the Lord was revealed. And they saw the power of God. You see, John is saying, he's saying, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He's saying, look at him. And merely by looking at him, the sin of the world can be taken away. What? Wait, we have to repent. We have to do all of these things. I want you to fast forward now to Revelation chapter 1, the Patmos vision, where John is standing there, and he sees Christ. He sees him. He sees his eyes as a flame of fire. He sees his hair was white as wool. He sees him clothed with a garment down to the foot. Are you with me now?
Yeah.
You're in Revelation chapter 1 with me. I hope you're taught and you know these things.
Yeah.
So he sees him clothed with the cloud.
Right.
Who is that?
Come on.
Jehovah of the old is Jesus of the new.
Amen.
He sees him clothed with the cloud.
Uh-huh.
And we look at a picture. And we can say, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. You say, whoa, Brother Trevor, hang on. No. I'm saying, behold. I know it's small, but you know what I'm doing here. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. That's what the prophet's saying. It's not me doing these things. But when you see these things going on, when you see a man who can come and who can say, you're from so-and-so, your name is so-and-so, you have this, oh, by the way, your mother has this, you're both healed. He says, I'd like to say, behold the Lamb of God. When John saw him, he said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. All the sin question was settled at Calvary.
Yeah.
Now, when John is standing there and we say, well, how does beholding Christ take away our sin? How does beholding Christ take away our sin? You see, when John truly beheld him there on the Isle of Patmos, and he saw him, you know, with all of these seven attributes. He saw his feet as brass and his eyes as a flame of fire with judgment and all of these things happening. What was John's reaction? John fell on his face as dead. Why? Because he truly saw God. He saw Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. He saw him for who he was. He saw his attributes. He saw things about him that he never understood or never knew existed. And when he saw that, he fell on his face as dead. Now, what is that? What does that remind you of? Repentance. Repentance, because when you truly see God, you can't help it. If you truly see him, remember we're singing, Jesus, you're the center of my joy.
Yes, sir.
But I've never truly beheld you for myself.
Oh, my God.
How does that work? You understand why Jesus is the center of your joy? Because when you can behold him, you can see what love he has for you.
Amen.
You can understand his holiness. And when you understand his holiness, you know there's nothing good in you.
Amen.
Yeah, his holiness makes you look so terrible.
Yes.
And then when you understand that and you know you still died for me and saved me, you understand, you behold his love.
Amen.
You behold his grace. You behold his mercy. You behold his favor. You behold so much about him that it just makes you go, oh, God. God, I love you. love you, God.
Hallelujah.
Lord, there's nothing good in me.
Hallelujah.
But the only thing that's good is you.
Yes,
why? Because we like looking at good things. Kind of makes you happy when you see something good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Brother Branham says, oh, we can come to church and talk and praise God and so forth. But, oh, brother, when we see him coming, something will be different in our hearts. We might think we do our religious duty. We go to church, pay our tithes, keep the laws of the church, and recite all the creeds. But once, let us get a look at him. The whole thing's changed all the way around. The great man, St. John, a great man like that, it said that the Bible in Revelations 1:7 said he fell as if a dead man. 3.5 years he had fellowship with Christ. Was one of the writers of the epistles and wrote behind him, eat with him at the table, slept with him at the bed, fellowshipped him with him wherever he went. But when he's turned to see him, he had no more life left in him. He fell like a dead man to the floor, to the ground. Why? Because when you truly behold Christ, it takes away the sin of the world. Beholding, just seeing him, knowing him, can do that for you. Now, how do we tie these things together? What I want you to see here is, beholding Christ is the fun that we get. Beholding him is truly the fun that we get. Say, Brother Trevor, that doesn't, I don't know. You haven't beheld Christ yet. You haven't truly seen him yet. You see, Jehu, he, in the Bible, in the book of Kings, I think it is, Jehu, he is a very religious man. He's commanded to go and take care of all of Ahab's people. And he has Jezebel thrown out the door, and Ahab is killed. And even though he driving along in the chariot, he says, come with me, see my zeal for the Lord. He proclaims a feast for Baal, gets all of the people who worship Baal into the temple, and then he blows the whole thing up. Right? Kills all the prophets of Baal. Why? Because there's such a great revival going on. But yet, there's just a few verses later, it says, and Jehu didn't pay attention to keeping the laws of the Lord. What was it? See, stop doing the bad things isn't enough. All Jehu did was stop doing the bad stuff. He got rid of the bad stuff in his life, but he wasn't looking to God anymore. He wasn't looking to Jesus. He wasn't looking to see, hey, okay, we're not doing bad things. Now, what should we be doing? He wasn't looking at living the life of a Christian now. It was just, well, stop doing bad stuff and we're okay. And it wasn't. He stopped doing bad, but he didn't have something else to put in its place. Amen. The scripture says, as many of you are baptized into Christ, you put on Christ. You put him on. You begin to allow him to work in your life. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You see what's so great about this? The sin question settled at Calvary. The battle is not between you and the devil. The battle is between Sennacherib and God. Right? The battle is between the devil and God. You're not a part of the battle because the sin question was settled at Calvary. You're not part of the battle because he is the author and finisher of our faith. Right. What begins in grace ends in grace.
Amen.
Tell me what you're going to do.
Yeah.
Amen? So don't just stop doing bad things. You see, God frees us from our responsibilities of paying for the sins. He paid for it for us. He frees us from the responsibility of working to achieve greatness. And what does he do? He just takes away all of that from us. He says, you don't have to worry about that. I did that for you. You know what I want you to do now? I just want you to look at me. I just want you to be in love with me now. He frees us from working so that we can just behold him. But many of us say, okay, I got it. And I'm going to stop doing the bad stuff. But we never look at Christ. Who meditates these days? Who meditates on the Word of God? Psalm chapter 1. Day and night, meditate on the Word of God. Who does this? Where's it at? Who's prayed too much this week? Who's read your Bible too much this week? Who's listened to too many tapes this week? Who's just sat there, got out, and I don't know, it's too hot to really sit out under the palm tree, but and just sat there and and heard the, I don't know, I'm in Florida, I am so lost. You know, but if we were in Indiana, I'd be, you know, you're out in the woods and, you know, the birds and the woodpeckers and, you know, it's so wonderful. You hear the wind kind of going through the trees and you can just, oh God, you're so wonderful. Look at the sky. God, you created that. Look at the trees. Look at, God, you created all these things and it's so awesome. It's so wonderful. And you just sat there and dwelt upon God and thought, and oh God, you saved me. Oh, I was so bad, God. Oh, God, you're so awesome. I love you so much, God. Oh, Jesus, I'm having such a good time here. Why? Because you're built up on the Word already. You can run and dance in the prairie. Why? You can have the emotion. Why? Because you're built up on His Word. Because you're looking at Christ.
Hallelujah.
I have a question for you. And I know it's I'm long. I need to stop preaching. But I have a question for you. How let's see here. We're going to take you, brother. Can I use you for an example really quick? How old are you? You're 19. Have you ever been bored? You 19. 19 years and you've been bored. How many times? More times than you can count. 19 years he's been bored. Many, many times. Let me ask you a question. What are you going to do in the millennium?
Come on now.
Let me ask you, let me tell you this just in case, you know, I know I'm looking at you and you're like, but 1,000 years, the millennium, 1,000 years. Do you plan on being bored in the millennium? Wait, 19 years here, you've already found time to be bored. In 1,000 years, what are you going to be doing? Does anybody expect to be bored in the millennium? Why not? Why aren't you going to be bored in the millennium? Do you think it's, well, it's just going to be one great big party. We're going to be just worshiping the Lamb and jumping all the time, and I'm sure we're going to do that a lot. But what are we going to be doing? We're going to be sitting there going, look at Him! He's so awesome! Oh my goodness! Oh! Do you understand the concept of movies and TV these days? You should understand the concept of this. You know, this billions of dollars are spent every year. And you should understand the concept of this. They need to produce a movie that you're going to pay a lot of money to see. After you've paid a lot of money to see this movie, they're going to make one exactly like that, but just change the characters, and you're going to go see it, right? Okay? I want you to tell me I'm wrong on the next one. And then after they do that one, after part two, they're going to make part three.
Yeah.
And it's going to have the same plot and pretty much the same effects, and you're going to pay a lot of money to go see that one too, right? No, at some point, it's like, no, I am not paying money for this anymore. I have a part four is going to be stupid.
Right.
Why? They have to make it better. The explosions have to be bigger. The filth has to be filthier. The actors have to be better looking. They have to be, you know, all of these things. It has to get more exciting and more this and more that. Why? Because if it's the same as the last one, you're going to get tired of it. You're going to get
bored.
But you're not going to be bored in the millennium. I have news for you. Your God doesn't change. He doesn't go, oh, they beheld me today. Special effects department, get some more servers in here. We need some more rendering power. We got to create some better effects so that the people would continue to look at me. No, your God does not change. The scripture says, behold, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Let me find that other one in my notes. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. So when you go to a movie and you think, oh, it's got to be better next time, I'm going to tell you, when you see God today, and you go to see God tomorrow, he's going to be the same, yes, but you're not going to see the same things. As you begin to consider him, meditate on him, and learn more about him, he's going to become more interesting and more complex, and you just begin to scratch the surface, and you go, wow, God, I realized you were holy, but today I am blown away by your holiness. God, I realized you loved, but today I just can't take it. Oh my goodness, God, I realized how wonderful you were, but man, I saw this bird, and or I saw this sunset, and I realized, God, you put all of that into place and how perfect it is. And then I saw just last weekend, I saw the moon and I saw Jupiter and Venus and Regulus in the sky, and I realized, God, thousands and thousands of years ago, you hung all of those things, and it's so perfect that we know the next time we're going to see that exact same configuration because you put it all into play. What a wonderful God he is. He doesn't change, but you'll never get bored of him. Amen? Brother Branham says, let me just see him. When temptation arises, let me see Christ. When things go wrong, let me just see him. When I get ready and the enemy try to make me angry, let me see Jesus. What would he do? Behold the Lamb of God. He takes away the sin of the world. Behold the center of your joy. Though you may be under siege, though it may be, you might feel like you got the raw deal, and you're in the wilderness, mountainous area, and Lot's having a good time by the creek, Jesus is the center of your joy. It wasn't emotion for Hezekiah. It wasn't emotion for Abraham. It was a living reality to them. They had believed the report of God, and the arm of the Lord was revealed to them. They saw, they beheld the power of God. And tonight, I want you to believe the report of the word. Don't just get caught up into the emotion of the services and I mean, Brother Jack has a gift that he can sing like he can sing, and you can just lose yourself in it. And it can last for 15 minutes, and you're not going to get bored. And you can get lost in the emotion. But there comes a time in the service where something's got to just come down and anchor real deep. You're going to have to take root downward and bear fruit upwards. Brother Branham tells the story, and I'm closing with this. Brother Branham tells the story of the little girl in the insane asylum. It should be a very familiar story to us. He goes and he's talking to her, and she doesn't look like she should be there, but she begins to tell him the story, and I started going with a man that had a flask in his pocket, and you know, we began to drink, and I got all these things, and now I'm just so messed up, and I don't know what to do. And he says, well, let's pray, and let's, you know, let's take care of this. And he says, I put my hand on her shoulder. I said, God bless you, sister. And she raised up. She had been praying, and she says, I believe it's all over now. I'm going to go out of here and try to live a different life. I said, sister, you'll go out and live the same life you lived. See, you're just turning a page. I said, it's not right yet. Let's pray some more. We got down, kept praying. After a while, she struck something. It? She beheld Christ. She struck something. My, it changed. Yes, sir, from like a little kid pecking on a music till it went to making music. Yes, sir, it got some rhythm in it. You know, after a while, she got to really praying. After a while, she began to scream. The tears running down them painted cheeks like that directly when she raised up them great big brown eyes, looked at me, said, Brother Branham, something's happened. I said, yes, sir, yes, sir. She's married and got 3 or 4 children now. What was it? She took God and stayed with it until actually something happened. She didn't allow her to just get caught up in the emotion, but something happened. It was a reality. Believe the word of the Lord, and the arm of the Lord is revealed to you. The reality, something taking place. The living word became a living reality. When God plants his promise in you, and it becomes a living reality, something is different. You just don't go and say, yes, I believe it. Now, that's all right. The devil believes it like that. But it's confirmed to you, and the word becomes alive in you. Then you begin to see what it is. Yes. When God plants his promise in you, you'll come out of the siege. You will come out of the siege if you believe the word of the Lord. And you will take root down. Will bear fruit upward. And you'll see Jesus as the center of your joy. And that will be a reality. That won't just be a song. It won't be words. But it'll be a living reality. Amen. Can we sing that song? Brother Jack, I'm going to say, you come up and sing that song. Let's just pray. You just bow your heads, Father. We want to thank you for your word. We want to believe the word of the Lord. We want to believe the report of the Lord tonight. And Lord, we're asking that just like the children of Israel there with Hezekiah, that we would see your power over the enemies that we face. God, we want to see you. We want to see that you're up there on the throne. We want to behold you and how you work in our lives and how wonderful and holy you are. And that you never change, but you never, ever get boring. Help us to see you tonight, Lord, as the center of our joy. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Be the center, it's all about you. Yes, it's all.
Come on, help me sing that.
I said, from my heart to the heavens, say, Jesus, be the center, it's all about you. Say, yes, it's all. Come on and say, from my heart to the heavens, oh Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all. Come on, from my heart, oh, from my heart to the heavens, oh Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. I said, yes, it's all. Come on, everybody, help me sing it. From my heart, from my... Come on, stand to your feet, to the heavens. Oh, Jesus, be the center. Yes, it's all about... Yes, it is. Yes, it's all. Ooh, from my heart, to the heavens. Oh, Jesus, be the center, for it's all about you. Oh, yes, it's all. One more time, from my heart, to the heavens. Jesus, be the center, it's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. Jesus at the center of it all.
Jesus at the center of it all.
Jesus at the center of it all. And from beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
Jesus, be the center of my life.
Jesus, be the center of my life.
Come on, Jesus, be the center of my life.
Jesus, be the center of my life.
From beginning to the end,
and from beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, nothing else matters. matters. See, nothing in this world will do. Cause Jesus, you're the center, and everything revolves around you, Jesus. Jesus at the center. Jesus at the center of it all. Come on, Jesus at the center. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end. And from beginning to the end. It will always be. It's always been you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Nothing else matters. See, nothing in this world will do. Oh, cause Jesus, you're the center, and everything revolves around you, Jesus. You, my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. Oh, from my heart to the heavens, oh, Jesus be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heavens. Oh, Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. Oh, yes, it's all about. From my heart to the heavens. Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about Jesus be the center. Jesus be the center of my life. Oh, Jesus be the center of my life. From beginning to the end, it will always be. And always been you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Jesus be the center of your church. Oh, Jesus be the center of your church. Jesus be the center of your church. Every knee will bow. And every tongue shall confess you, Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, give him praise. The center, you're the center of my joy. Come on, sing it again. Oh, Jesus, you're the center of my joy. All that's good. Come on,
You're the heart of mine. Oh, hey. Come on, Jesus. Oh, you're the center of. Let's sing that first verse. Oh, when I've lost my direction, you're the compass for my way. You're the fire light when nights are long and cold. In sadness, you are the laughter that shatters all my fears. When I'm all alone, your hand is there for me to hold. Oh, Jesus, you're the center of my joy. Come on, all that's good, say, all that's good and perfect comes from you. Yeah, you're the heart of my contentment. Hope for all I do. Oh, Jesus, you're the center of my joy. Come on, say, you are why I find pleasure in the simple things in life. You're the music in the meadows and the streams, come on, the voices of all the children, my family and my home. You're the source of Venice and my highest dream. Oh, yes, you are, Jesus. You're the center of my joy. Come on, all that's good and perfect. Hallelujah. It comes from you. Yeah. You're the heart of mine. Hallelujah. Oh, hope for all I do. Oh, Jesus, you are the center of my joy. Come on, say, Jesus, you are the center of my joy. Come on, I say, Jesus, you are the center of my joy. Come on, say, Jesus, say, you are the center of my joy. I say, Jesus, say, you are the center of my joy. You're everything, say, everything. You're everything, everything. I say, Jesus, you are the center of my joy. Yes, you are. Say, yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. My joy. You're my peace. You're my hope. Yes, you are. I say, Jesus, you are the center of my joy. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. My joy, my peace, my hope. Yes, you are. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Say, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah.
my joy. My joy. Somebody worship him. Nobody like Jesus. We're satisfied with you, Lord. Totally satisfied. Nobody can do us like you. Nobody can save us like you. Nobody would die for us like you did, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God, we give you praise. We honor you tonight, Lord. Not just with the words that come from these songs, but the lives that we live before you, Jesus. It shows, Lord, that you're the center of everything. God, how we just appreciate the word of God as it comes to our heart to challenge us. And oftentimes the devil just comes with all kind of evil things that he presents to us, trying to make us think that serving him is better than serving God. But tonight we declare, Satan, you are a liar. The blood of Jesus is against you tonight. And God, we claim victory for every son of God. We claim victory for every daughter of God tonight. Don't let us leave here believing the devil's lies. But help us to realize, God, that serving you is better than anything we can ever do. Sometimes we're under siege. Sometimes it don't feel good. Sometimes it's just not fun. But God, it's the best thing that we could ever do while we're here on this earth is to be serving you, God. Loose every son of God in his mind and every daughter of God in her mind tonight, Father. Lord, loose them tonight in the name of Jesus. Let the word of God come and set the captive free. In the name of Jesus. God, whether they come to the altar or not, that's not what it's about. The altar's in the heart. And Father, may people be released from their bondage of sin. Everything the devil has to offer, Lord, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. But Jesus, we want to declare that you are the center of our joy. I thank you, Lord, for your servant just preaching his heart tonight. And God, we just appreciate the word as it came to us tonight. And we're leaving here changed by the power of Almighty God, by the word of Almighty God. We're leaving here changed by that. And we're grateful for it tonight, Father. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Somebody give the Lord a hand of praise. Somebody worship him. Somebody thank him. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. My God. Well, I just feel like the Lord gave us both sermons tonight, wrapped up in that one. And that's a really good question that Brother Trevor asked us at the end, if we've been bored. And if so, if that's our testimony, that we're bored, this life that we live is just boring, it's just boring, it's just boring. When you leave here, no matter where you go, if you go to hell, you won't be bored. If you go to heaven, you won't be bored. But I tell you what, if you plan on going to heaven, you might as well start living like it now. Amen. You ought to get used to the atmosphere that you're in right now, because that's what the atmosphere going to be like when we get to the other side. It's just going to be a lot of worshiping and praising God. Come on, ain't going to be no football games and basketball games, and it ain't all that ain't happening in heaven. Amen. I had a man. I don't mean to belittle him in any way. That's not my intention saying this statement. But as I was just sitting there listening to him, he was telling me that the Lord had gave him an experience of going to heaven. And so when he went, he came back and he told his church, say, I went to heaven, and when I got there, all I saw was just miles and miles and miles of amusement parks. And when I said, he said he just saw, it's just joy, just miles and miles of amusement parks. Now, I don't know about you, but when I go to the amusement park, I don't get joy. All the money that I lose, I don't get joy. Right? Amen. So, I mean, I don't believe heaven gonna be like that.
right? But people try to, you know, try to paint it to some picture that it's really not. All we got to do is take what the prophet said. But I tell you what, he when he expressed it, you know, to us, when he went over to the other side, you know, Brother Branham just said, you know, you really couldn't even describe what it would be like. You really couldn't describe it. Say, you know, the words that we try to use here on earth will never, ever match what he saw on the other side. And they say he came back so impressed that he would try to get his worst enemy to make sure that they got there to the other side. Church, we got something to look forward to. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to start with worship and it's going to start with praise. So we might as well not be bored now when we come to church. We might as well give God everything he got. Amen, amen. Brother, I ain't bored. I ain't bored serving the Lord. I'm going to tell you that right now. I enjoy myself serving Jesus. I enjoy myself. You all remember the story where Brother Branham was had a young lady that he was going out with there, a little girlfriend, and she invited him to a dance, you know, one night, and Brother Branham said, no, I don't dance. And she's like, well, what do you do for fun? You know, like she tried to get him to smoke and tried to get him to drink and tried to get him to dance. He's like, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't dance, I don't do none of that, right? Well, what do you do for fun? Say, well, you know, you just come with me. And one night she happened to show up, and she showed up to the church. And when she got to the church, the presence of the Lord was so strong in that place. Brother Branham looked at the young lady and said, you want to know what I did for fun? Well, this is exactly what I do for fun. I just come and I just bathe in the presence of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Anybody enjoyed himself tonight? Anybody really enjoyed himself tonight? Hallelujah. This is what we do for fun. Oh, God is good. God is good. God bless you, Brother Trevor. Thank you so much for just sharing your heart tonight. Amen. We appreciate that tonight. Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. Oh, my God, my God, my God. Well, we were not going to hold you. I know, amen, the hour's getting late. We want to give you a little time to fellowship. We have some food there next door, so you make sure you go over and get some. Don't forget, on next Friday, all this, the South Florida Choir, amen, those that want to be a part next Friday, 7:30, will be at Brother Wesco's church, amen, having a rehearsal, just getting a couple songs together before the meetings come up. I'm certainly just believing that God going to do something special. It's just, you know, just seemed like we threw another log on the fire, just let it burn a little bit higher. And as we approach these meetings, God going to do something mighty in our midst. So we're looking forward to that. And don't forget also next Saturday at 3 p.m. in Miami at Brother Bernard's church, there'll be an event for the singles 18 years and older. Amen. If you're single, there's an event for you. That's all the pastors invited as well with the young people there. So next Saturday, 3 o'clock, July 4th in Miami at Brother Bernard's church. So keep that in mind. We thank God for Brother Wesco just being with us tonight. Amen. Thank God for all the churches that are represented here tonight. Amen. God bless you all for coming out to be a part of this service. Amen. Let's pray for the food and we'll let you go tonight. Father, we thank you once more for all that you've done in this place. Amen. And as we, Lord, just leave your presence, maybe going for a little fellowship, we pray that this presence would go with us. Bless our time together. Bless the food that's been prepared and the hands that labor to prepare it for us. And God, as your people would get in their cars, going their respective ways, some have to travel far, some have to travel near, but we pray that you give them all traveling mercies. As we would gather together again tomorrow morning, amen, in the house of the Lord, we ask that your spirit would meet us once more. God, we thank you for all that you have done here tonight. And God, we know you got more in store for us tomorrow. So help us to enter in and receive all that you have for us this weekend. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. The brothers will come at this time to dismiss you. Amen.